Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. It's only just a matter of... so much for joining me. I'm Susie Larson, and it is time for a special edition of Middays This Week. Over the next hour, you'll hear parts of a recent live stream video event that I did with my good friend, functional medicine doctor, Dr. Troy Spurl of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. We talked about overcoming the fear and worry battle. Hey, friends, welcome to our Faith Radio live stream event. I'm Susie Larson, host of the Midday Show on Faith Radio, joined by my great buddy, Dr. Troy Spurl. He's also a Faith Radio contributor, CEO, and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. Welcome, Dr. Troy.
Thank you, Susie.
Looking forward to a great night tonight. We've got an amazing program planned for you. We're going to talk about how to win the fear and worry battle. We'll talk about some of the physiological implications on our bodies, our souls, and our emotions when we let fear and worry win the day, when we go rogue with our thought life. And, you know, also, we are facing a global pandemic unlike anything we've ever seen in our lifetime. But we also have a very real enemy. And if the enemy can't get you sick with the virus, he'll try to get you sick with fear. And we want so much by the end of this program for you to learn some brain hacks on how to interrupt fear, some spiritual tools on how to stand against fear, how to enjoy your life, and how to look forward to your future with anticipation, because God is good and his promises are true. And Dr. Troy, before we get into all of this, I'm so excited. I want to just honor a couple of our sponsors, one of them being you and your clinic. A Synapse Center for Health and Healing donated $1,000 worth of gifts, product services tonight. I can't wait to tell you about them. And also, Lindsay Wilson from Roseville Chick-fil-A donated a stack of $25 Chick-fil-A gift cards. So a number of you who win gift packs tonight will also get a Chick-fil-A gift card that you can use anywhere in the country. Thanks so much to Roseville Chick-fil-A. So if you're in the Roseville area, please stop in and say thank you. So now onto the giveaways. Are you ready? Because it's really, I mean, I'm super excited about this. Let me just list the giveaways. Five of you will win a gift pack of a book from our Faith Radio shelf. This shirt, you see it? Faith Over Fear, very cute. And a $25 gift card from Chick-fil-A. Five of you will get that gift pack. One of you will win a $100 gift card from Target. Maybe you need help with groceries or whatever you need. Maybe you just need to treat yourself to some summer clothes. That's for you. And you get your Faith Over Fear t-shirt as well. One of you will win an immune booster pack of supplements from Synapse, compliments of Synapse, $100 value. Four of you will win a nutritional consult worth $200, also from Synapse, and that's something you can do virtually. One of you will win a $500 lab and health assessment from Synapse Center. I'm just absolutely amazed by that. That also you can do virtually. I think even if you're coming from across the country, it's worth doing in person so you can meet Dr. Troy and his staff, but you decide. So this is how you enter to win. If you listen to my show, it's the same thing. You're going to text the word book. Now, I know that seems odd, but it'll kick back a link and give you just a moment to enter a drawing. But once you enter, if you just want to win any gift, say any gift. But if you want that health assessment or that $100 gift card, just specify so we can get your name in the drawing. Okay, winning the fear and worry battle. We've been talking a little bit about that fear paralyzes and hope mobilizes. Let's just start here. Talk about the physiological implications of fear.
Well, generally speaking, what we see when people have any type of fear is internally, we actually see a shutting down of our neuronal responses. So there's an actual depressive reaction in the brain. It's actually my favorite area of the brain. So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword, if you will, because when you really get that area of the brain working, you can do amazing things. It's a filter for your emotions and your muscle output. So if you want to be a high performance athlete, you've got to be mentally on your game as much as you are physically. So unfortunately, the opposite is true as well. Fear can literally cause that same area of the brain to shut down and depress our muscle function. And given time, it'll depress us from doing things that we're meant to do in life. And can decrease our motivation. Fear is a dream stealer in the fact that we can come up with really good ideas. We can be inspired by God, and fear will stop us from taking action on that.
Fear also shuts your cells up. So you can't, even if this was my case, you know, someone disciplined because I had to be, you know, around health discipline with my exercise, my diet, my supplements, but I was still malnourished and I was still dehydrated because I wasn't dealing with the fear issue. This was years ago when I first came to you and I learned that my cells were in fight flight. So I wasn't even receiving the benefits of my discipline. I mean, I just don't think we realize how crafty the enemy is to wield this weapon against us. Because it doesn't just shut down our dreams and it ruins our day, but it affects our health and our immunities.
Yeah, we physically see the actual cells folding over onto onto itself. And so all of our cells have little receptors that nutrients will come and bind to those receptors. And so when we're in fear, our receptors get covered up. So when the cells fold over on itself, like just like a frightened child would, the receptors get blocked and we don't get as much of the nutrients flowing into the cell. And then the water follows the nutrients. And so we actually see our cells start to shrink, because if the water and the nutrients don't get in there, it you go from basically a grape to a raisin, each cell does. And that is the aging process. So fear increases your aging process by not allowing the cell to be fed what it needs to be fed, by not allowing the water to get into the cell.
Wow. Okay, friends, think raisins, think fear,
yes.
Think your skin, not worth it.
Not worth
it. That alone is totally worth fighting this battle, I'm just saying. But you know, you're a science guy and you're a doctor, but you're also a man of faith.
Yes.
From a faith perspective, knowing what you know about science and knowing, I know you've got a full-time researcher on staff, looking at the pandemic, looking at the enemy behind the pandemic, because again, like I said at the open, if he can't get you sick with the virus, he's going to get you sick with fear. I want you to just talk about how effective that enemy has been by parroting fear to us. That so even if we don't get the virus, we are killing our health and dropping our immunities because we are embracing fear. Say a word about that.
Yeah, my general rule of thumb, and this is what I've been saying to my patients for the last 2.5 months, that as a parent, fear can be good in a couple situations. Like if our kid is about to run into a street and we scream their name and they're scared and they stop, that's good. So in the moment, it's okay to experience fear because it is an emotion for things like that. But anything that goes on and on and on, and one of the themes is inducing fear, then that's a problem. And that's what I've seen with the virus. And what you'll see is if we play it back now a couple months, we'll see that in the beginning, there's a bunch of worst case scenarios that were put out. And many people were relaying that information as if it was going to happen. And if you didn't do this, it was going to happen. And that's just not right. That's fear mongering. And that's fear for the, sometimes it's, you know, people themselves are fearful, and that's what they're relaying. And so you need to identify the chicken littles in your life and make sure you're not listening to them. Using discernment is very, very important. It's also some of these, I mean, we'll just say it, sometimes it's greed. A lot of the media gets better ratings when they promote fear. And so that'll be a big part of it as well. So discernment is very much needed. And when it comes to this pandemic, we've seen countless things, statistics start to change. Some of it was due to bad science, and some of it was due to bad data. We now know that a lot of the models that were originally used were not right at all, not accurate. And even this week, they just came out and said that the CDC apologized because they had been counting both the positive COVID tests and the antibody tests together. And many of those people were both lumped together, which means the numbers are actually quite a bit less in many different states. And a lot of the governors were going off of that data, which means we've made big decisions off of incorrect data. And one of my things that I do and have always practiced this way is I put God first and I put health through the filter of God, how he made us. And I know through every pandemic that's come across this planet that God is good through the whole pandemic. He's been there the whole time. And when it comes to science, I look at it and see how it makes sense with how God made us. So I study how God made us. If when it comes to a pandemic like this, I don't look at the numbers where there can be human error time and time again, like the CDC numbers and what they've been pumping out on the media. I do look at the research that tells us in Seoul, in South Korea, 98% of the people over the age of 80 who passed away had suboptimal vitamin D levels. Over 90% of the people over the age of 80 who got it and survived had normal vitamin D levels. Just that one statistic is very, very important for us. And that makes sense to me because God made us to be out in the sun, to be outside and getting free vitamin D. And generally speaking, when God has made it and it's working good and we haven't fooled with it, it's a lot cheaper than the medication that's being sold or whatever it is, whatever solution's being offered up. And so I don't know if everyone's like this too, but I just know in my heart that God knows when I am born and when I'm going to die. And so it is in God's hands. And I put God first as far as just filtering everything through his filter. And boy, does that take a lot of the fear out of it when you start looking at the statistics, because I can't tell you how many times I've said during this pandemic, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, that doesn't make sense. And so then we will question things, and our researcher at Synapse will go out. And in the beginning, a lot of it wasn't really panning out. But I sure tell you, the last 2-3 weeks, we're seeing a lot of what we thought in the beginning was going to be true. And that's because it eventually comes out to be how God made us and how we're meant to fight viruses. Viruses are supposed to be a part of us. And so there's a lot to this. I'm not saying that the virus isn't deadly for some, but we also understand when it is deadly and what to do about it.
It's time for our first break. You're listening to a special Middays with Susie Larson, a weekend edition featuring audio from my recent live stream event with Dr. Troy Spurl. We have some amazing giveaways from this event, and the drawings, would you believe this, are still open. You could win a gift pack with Faith Over Fear t-shirt, a Chick-fil-A gift card, and a surprise book from our Faith Radio shelf. Or you could be someone who wins the $100 Target gift card. One of you, several of you, I should say, are going to win nutritional assessments. Those are $200 value gifts from Synapse. And also, one of you will get a health assessment. That's worth $500 from Synapse Center for health and healing. You want in on the drawing? Just text the word book to 877-933-2484 and mention which giveaway items you're interested in most on that form. Again, the number is 877-933-2484, and we will be back in a moment. A special edition of Middays This Week with Susie Larson, featuring audio from a recent live stream event with show regular Dr. Troy Spurl.
And, you know, one of the preventative things that we can do is not to fear. I mean, if you listen to Middays often enough, we've talked about this plenty of times. And the reason it's fascinating to me is because I think that was one of my greatest weaknesses and flaws. But when I learned that when you embrace fear, when you let fear go rogue in your life, you literally open the door to inflammatory response in your body. So I want you to think about this. Hide in your house. Now, quarantine is good, so don't hear me say that. But I'm saying in fear, when we go into self-preservation and we go, you know, I'm totally afraid. What happens is you get this inflammatory response in your body. And where does disease and sickness grow? In inflammation. So there is something we can and should do about this as Christians. This did not take God by surprise. And I told you this story before, Doc, but I remember a while back when I was just getting hit with just trauma fears. Just like I get hit when I'm not feeling well, I'm not sleeping well, so my symptoms are off the charts. So I don't feel like I have the bandwidth to stand. And that seems when the enemy hits me hard with just a super scary fear of a worst case scenario. And I'm like, and I just get traumatized. And I remember God just breaking through one night and saying to me, "Do you think that I would inform you of your future through an enemy, through your enemy? He is a lousy counselor. He is a liar." And the Lord whispered this to my heart. It was just profound. He said, "He's trying to get you to imagine a future that I'm not in." And that was like a light bulb moment. And I just got to say, if you're in Christ Jesus, there is no future that God is not in. But we take the bait. And I am so concerned that we've taken the bait. Now, we're coming through this. But I think, hey, it's time for a reset. And to, because fear paralyzes, as we were saying, hope mobilizes. And one thing I learned recently, I just love brain study. I think it's so fascinating. Through an online course I was taking, that our brains can't tell the difference between past, present, and future. Our brains are wired for love, and they're wired for the present moment. But the enemy knows that if he can get us pulling past trauma or projecting future trauma, he can totally disrupt our present moment when life is meant to be enjoyed, to live by faith. So I want you to say a little bit about just how our brains
work. So the majority of our brain is actually made to be in the present. And so it's very, very important that we stay in the present the majority of the time. So one of the biggest things that we see that people who are constantly living in the past, the analogy I give, it's kind of like driving because you're on a road trip, you're on a journey, and it's like driving your car on the way to the destination, but you're constantly looking in the rearview mirror. Eventually, you're going to crash and burn, and that's what happens with the brain. The majority of the brain gets signals, and if you have a memory from the past, good or bad, it will basically bring upon you something in the present, if you will. So if you're thinking about, for example, if you smell homemade cookies and you walk in there and it smells like grandma's homemade cookies and you have these memories of grandma coming back, that can be very, very real to you in that moment. And so good and bad, you can actually bring the past. Now, the same thing's true for the future. And we can actually see a lot of negative impact when you start to really let your mind wander too much for both. It's okay to take a quick trip to either the past or the future. We actually encourage you to, like a rearview mirror, glance at the past to learn from it. And the future, it's okay to plan for it, to get excited about it, because that's where hope comes from as well. And so you want to not live there. You want to just visit there and then come back, because when you are in the present, when you're with your body and you're in the present, actually paying attention to it, that's when you can start to actually see and make differences with your overall health. Because as life happens so fast, stressors happen. If we don't handle or manage the stressors, there will be a consequence to that. And so it becomes very, very important us to be very present with what's going on and being real with our lives as far as what's going on.
Yeah, I just think it's so important. If you catch your thoughts going in back in regret, I mean, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation and the old is gone. And I agree with you, there's a time to visit the past, maybe to sort something out, but to rehearse it till you're in the trench and it's affecting your present, that's a loss. And that's one way the enemy rips you off. And again, getting a vision for the future is amazing. Projecting fear into the future is traumatizing. And Renee wants to know, how do we get out of fight or flight mode?
Well, that's a great question, because there could be many different ways to do that. The best way to do that I know of is to avoid the things that trigger you. So sometimes that's people, sometimes that's thoughts, sometimes that's food, sometimes that's caffeine, sometimes that's really negative environments that you're in, which would be work or something like that. So sometimes you have to avoid those triggers. One of the best things to offset fight or flight is to help with the opposite, rest and digest. So to get out of fight or flight, you want to focus on improving your sleep and your digestive system. For the digestive system, the quick fix is to fast. Now, you have to fast properly, but fasting and or doing an anti-inflammatory diet or an elimination diet to identify what food's affecting you will help immensely, because an inflamed digestive tract will put you into fight or flight instantly once it gets to that point. And sleep and improper sleep is one of the most common things that I see. And those are the two areas. Doesn't matter what people come in with, probably 98% of the patients we will look at improving their sleep and their digestive systems. And many of them, when we ask them, how are they doing that way? They don't think they have a sleep disorder. They don't think they have digestive stuff. And then we end up finding that in the majority of them. So sleep is crucial. And that is when God restores us each and every night. It's amazing what you can go to bed with as far as aches and pains when you're a kid in particular, and then wake up the next morning and you're raring to go. So it's quite something.
Yeah, we're going to talk in a little while about brain hacks. When you find yourself on that rogue path, surely I'm not the only person who does this, but that rogue path of fear, worry, anxiety, how to really actually hack in it, how to break that chain and do something different. We'll talk about that and some of the spiritual implications. If you hopped on late, I want you to know we're talking about winning the fear and worry battle. Also want you to know we've got some epic giveaways. I'm just so grateful. Synapse Center for Health and Healing, Dr. Troy's clinic, has donated $1,000 worth of products and services. Plus we've got some Faith Radio books combined with Faith Over Fear shirt. So you might get a gift pack with a book, a Faith Over Fear shirt, and a Chick-fil-A $25 gift card. You might get a $100 immune booster pack of supplements. He's also giving away a $500 functional lab assessment from Synapse, and you can do these virtually. There's several other things. So if you want in on the drawing, you can either text 877-933-2484. You just text the word book and it'll kick back a link. All right. So we've got a few more questions and I've got all kinds of content. First of all, I'm going to read this quote that I wrote. So it's not really a quote. That's funny. but this is what I wrote. Our souls aren't wired for continual stress and trauma or drama. I should have added that. Anticipating disease, despair, and death counts are damaging to your brain and devastating to your soul. And just on the flip side, our souls are wired for love, for rest, for faith, for health, for freedom. And it's actually healing to our brain to anticipate good things.
You're listening to a special Middays with Susie Larson, a weekend edition featuring audio from my recent live stream event with Dr. Troy Spurl. We have some amazing giveaways from this event, and the drawings, would you believe this, are still open. You could win a gift pack with Faith Over Fear t-shirt, a Chick-fil-A gift card, and a surprise book from our Faith Radio shelf, or you could be someone who wins the $100 Target gift card. One of you, several of you, I should say, are going to win nutritional assessments. Those are $200 value gifts from Synapse, and also one of you will get a health assessment. That's worth $500 from Synapse Center for Health and Healing. You want in on the drawing? Just text the word book to 877-933-2484 and mention which giveaway items you're interested in most on that forum. Again, the number is 877-933-2484, and we will be back in a moment. Edition of Middays this week with me, Susie Larson. Today we're airing select audio from a recent live stream event I hosted with Dr. Troy Spurl of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. Here's more of our conversation on winning the fear and worry battle.
Now, for those of you who've listened to Middays before, you've heard this isn't new information for you, but others need to hear this. So if one person doesn't know this, it's worth knowing. But our brains are always operating on one of two motivational fuels. We're either operating in fear or love. Now, did you know science figured that out? But do you remember what scripture says? There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And Doc, that's what you're talking about a little bit earlier. When we are motivated by fear, we go into fight flight. And we have to get out of fear to get into love. But you and I were talking during our show prep that's, you know, sometimes people think to get out of fear and into faith means denial. I just deny that this is happening. And it creates something called a cognitive dissonance. And I think if you picture a bridge with the middle blown out, there's not a connection because your body knows you're lying.
Yes.
So talk about how to live in faith while honoring what's actually really happening.
Well, this is so important. And this is something that people, they think they have to just be positive when they're suffering. And that's not the case. The story I like to relay is one called the Stockdale Paradox, where it was this prisoner of war, and he actually ran for vice president at one point. And I read his story in the book, it's called Good to Great. And he was a prisoner of war for over 6 years, and he was tortured, and it was an awful scenario. And they asked him afterwards how he did it. And when he relayed his story, he said, "I was just realistic with my situation, but I never gave up faith." And so that's really important, because he had faith. He was optimistic that he would get out and have faith, but he knew the situation he was in. He was being very real. He's like, "Wow, I'm getting tortured today. I'll probably be tortured tomorrow." And so that realism helped him survive day to day. And he said he could tell the people who weren't going to survive, because they were the optimists. The people who said, "I think we're going to get out next week." And then when next week didn't happen and they didn't get out, then there was one more level of depression. So it's very important, if you're suffering in life, to at least recognize where you are in that suffering, because we need to actually be truthful. Our body knows when we're lying. And so, and funny enough, my pastor said this last week at church. He said, "We need to name it to tame it." And that's 100% true. Because we need to be okay with it. We don't need to live in it. We still need that faith that everything's going to be okay. And that's true for this virus. That's true for if you're suffering from chronic Lyme. It's true for if you don't even have a label, but you know you're not right. Just be okay with the fact that you're not right, and be aware of that. And I wrote a book 20 years ago, and that was the chapter number one was called Awareness. And it was all about being in the present, about what was going on with your body, and being truthful. Because when we're not truthful and there's a lie, number one, we start to not trust ourselves as much. And then we start to actually have negative consequences built on top of the negative consequences we're already feeling.
You know, and that's the thing, is learning to live in the tension of the now and identifying it so you're not faking it. I mean, I've heard different people talk about faith as if they're in complete denial. And again, if your heart is breaking, your heart is breaking, being honest about that, but you attach it to the promises of God that propel you forward. And again, forgive me if you've heard me say this before, but I think it's perfect for this conversation. My mentor told me this about 20 years ago, to discern the difference between expectation and expectancy. She said, expectation is premeditated disappointment. So it's like creating a bullseye that God has to hit. And as Dr. Troy was saying, I'm going to be healed by next weekend, or my prodigal son is going to come back by next month, or we're going to have a family gathering on Memorial Day weekend and it's going to be perfect. You know, we make these expectations and they don't happen. And then our disappointment is that much greater. But she said, most people come up with an expectation, they get disappointed, and they think this faith thing doesn't work. You know, God isn't who he says he is. But we're the ones who created a hoop for him to jump through, and he doesn't jump through our hoops, right? But she said, not to abandon hope or faith. She said, instead, you go to expectancy that says, you know what? There's a mystery to following God. I don't dictate to him. He dictates to me, but I happen to know that he's better than I can even imagine. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to be honest about my situation. I'm going to grab hold of faith. I'm going to trust him to come through in a way that I can't even imagine, but I don't know how that will look or when it'll happen. So I'm going to live with this open-eyed wonder. And I just think that is so powerful. And Doc, I think it takes a lot of maturity to live in the now and the not yet. But I think that is where God wants us to live.
Absolutely. Because we know we have promises that he has given us. And when we know those promises and we're aware of those promises, then it actually gives us comfort in the now. And it is 100% possible to be hurting and comforted at the same time.
Amen. 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 Linda, I love this. Definitely love the truth of God's promises. He gave me a clear word from Psalm 91. No plague will come near my house. She says, it's helped me so much with keeping my peace in the pandemic. So many people are camping out in that passage.
Yes.
Jacob and Emily Simonson, love this. Thanks so much, Susie, Dr. Troy. We're fortunate to be able to be seen by him. Love your shows together. Love that you get to go see him. Well, Dr. Troy writes this, fear does not stop death. It stops life. You guys hear that? Fear does not stop death. It stops life. Fear has two meanings, Dr. Troy says. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. And I want you to think about this, because one of the things that I've learned is the idea is that if we avoid the things that we fear, if we just keep making accommodations for our fears, it actually gets hardwired into our brain, down to the point in our subconscious. If we keep making so many accommodations, eventually they become involuntary, instinctive reactions. Oh, I can't go there. Oh, I can't do that. And it's like the enemy takes our land one piece at a time. And you're saying avoidance is not the way to manage your fear. Say more if you would.
Well, there's a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and he basically says, do the thing we fear and the death of fear is certain. And so he was on it. He got it. And when it comes to fear, it's not about being fearless. And then you and I've talked about this. Fear won't go away. It's more of a process of developing courage, because courage is having fear and doing it anyway. So it's not about being fearless. We all have fear. We all get fear, but it doesn't have to get us. It doesn't have to paralyze us. And it does require action. And God tells us that. And courage is the definition of having fear and doing it anyway. So when it comes to this virus, there is living in that fear is going to predispose you to weaken your immune system to then be more susceptible. And so walking around with that courage is something that that we know that will help boost our immune system. And truthfully, I trust God to put on my heart when I should be doing something and when I shouldn't. If I'm in the now, if I'm not worried, which is a misuse of your imagination, thinking about what could be as I'm walking down the street, I'm going to be present. He's going to tell me, don't step off the curb because there's a bus coming and it's not your time. And so I trust that conversation with him to a deep, deep level. When I get stuck with a patient, I pray. Because I know, and I have not helped every patient that's come through our doors, because I firmly believe that some are just not, they're not meant to be there, and they're not meant to have the interaction where there's a healing. And then I've had people where I've said, you shouldn't be here, and a healing occurred. So it wasn't me, it was God. And so listening to God is the best thing you can do, because it will squelch the fear. And there's just certainty, and people will ask all the time, but how can you be certain? And they hate that a scientist, that a doctor says, I just am, I just know. It's because God has put that on my heart, and I don't have it all the time, but I get it with certain patients. I get it in certain circumstances. And the only way you can receive that is if you are present and you're listening. If you're busy talking in your own head, you're not going to hear God's message for you.
That's right. That's right. So I want you to think about that, friends, because as he was saying, you know, we were talking about this again during the show prep, you know, can you win the fear worry battle? Can you? It depends. You know, God, Jesus won the war. If you are in Christ, you're on the winning side and it ends well for you, right? But we have daily skirmishes and battles. And I want you to think about what's going on in the world today. There is a spirit of fear. So there's not power. People are in the flesh. There is a spirit of fear. So there's not love. People are self-preserving and buying up all the toilet paper. Think about it. There is a spirit of fear. So there's not wisdom and skill and strategy. People have lost their wits. So if there was ever a time for Christians to be in power, to be in love, to be in sound mind, it is right now. And Dr. Troy, you wrote this, and I thought it was so good. Fear of the unknown may be feedback that you're trying too hard to control your life, your circumstances, or your destiny. The freedom of surrendering to God and knowing that he is in control leaves little room for fear and worry. And then you referenced Psalm 34:4, and I think somebody else texted that in tonight. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. So say more about our need and desire to control our lives and the contrast that was seeking after the Lord so he can deliver us.
Yeah. So for me, there's a couple layers to this. The first thing is I want people to know that if you're in the present and you're truly looking and having awareness as to what's going on in your life, I think you're going to get down to a point of realizing you're trying to control your life too much and fear has entered in there. The first thing that I want you to do is not go to shame for being fearful. As Christians, we get really good at causing some guilt and some other things and shame, saying that I know that love casts out all fear. I know that, I've read that, I've experienced it, and then now here I am fearful. Well, it happens to all of us. That's why it can become a big, big issue. And so awareness and recognizing it is very, very important, and not going to shame and not beating yourself up. Self-condemnation is very, very important. I used to have two fears. One was public speaking and one was looking dumb in front of people. And
check. No, I'm just kidding.
So that was, to get over the fear, I did those things. The most freeing thing I did was say something wrong in front of a group while I was lecturing, and I survived. Did you know that I lived to the next day?
You did.
I did.
That's fantastic.
It was freeing because people gave me grace. There was an opportunity there for them to give me grace when I realized, because I came up afterwards and I said, oh, I said this wrong. And I was all worried. And I was supposed to be talking about a particular product or nutritional scenario. And it was so stressful that I didn't actually bring that up once. And I spoke for an hour. And I didn't bring up the topic once. So I spoke about everything else but it. And so it was not my best talk, but I survived it. And at one point they even had to bring up a towel for all the sweat that was pouring off my face and everything. And so I just want people to know that we all have it, but to do the thing we fear, there's value there.
Yeah.
And so not going to self-condemnation and shame. The second part of it is, it comes from control, really. When we boil it down, a lot of the times is we want to control our environment. And so we've talked a little bit about this in the past, but especially people who are empathetic and nurturers, this is a big issue, because whenever we have a gift, whenever we're good at something, when we overdo that gift, it can become a problem. For example, if I'm a critical thinker, and I can really get into the details, and I can analyze and overanalyze and overanalyze, it can lead to procrastination. If you're a really good nurturer, like a mom who has a child at home, your job is to hug and protect that child and nurture and take care of that child. You'll even put up things so they don't fall down the stairs or they don't bang their head on the corner of the corner table. You have control over the environment for that baby and toddler. But as they grow, you don't have that same level of control, and you're not meant to. That we generally see a surrendering to allow that child to learn how to fall down and pick themselves back up. And that has to happen, or otherwise we become an overbearing parent.
I was going to say, if you don't deal with your fear, if you want to stay in control while that child is grown and supposed to be launching, it doesn't just affect you, it affects them. And I think that is a picture that our fear isn't self-sustaining. I mean, it's not contained. It really does impact everybody around us. And we again don't say this with condemnation, we say it with an invitation that God so much wants to set us free. And what a time to wrestle for freedom right here, right now. This is amazing practice. And one thing you said, I don't think we'll ever get to the point of being fearless, but we can get to the point of being courageous. And what a goal that is.
This is Middays with Suzy Larson. This week, today, we are hearing a portion of my recent live stream with Dr. Troy Spurl addressing how we can win the fear and worry battle. You'll hear mention of some giveaways during the event. Those giveaways are still open. Here's the instructions on how to enter. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you're interested in a specific giveaway, make sure you reference that on the form. We'll be back in a moment.
Oh,
to a special edition of Middays with Susie Larson, Weekend Edition, featuring audio from one of my recent live stream events with Dr. Troy Spurl.
In case you hopped on late and you're wondering about all these giveaways, we've got over $1,200 worth of giveaways, thanks to Synapse Center for Health and Healing, which is Dr. Troy's clinic. Chick-fil-A, Roseville gave us a stack of Chick-fil-A cards. So if you want to register to win, you text the word book to 877-933-2484, and it'll kick back a link. And then if you have a preference for one of these gifts, just make sure you say that in the field. It just gets your name, I think your email, and then just reference. So five of you will get a gift pack where you get a book off of our Faith Radio shelf. It's Faith Over Fear t-shirt and a $20 Chick-fil-A gift card. One of you will get a $100 Target card and a Faith Over Fear t-shirt. One of you will get an immune booster pack from Dr. Troy's office, supplements to boost your immune system. Five of you will get a nutritional consult. Those are $200 a piece. One of you will get a full functional lab assessment. That means, Doc, that you cover them to get their labs done, to get their blood work done, and then it gets assessed by your team of doctors, and then you do either a virtual or in-person visit so that they see what's going on.
Yeah, it's actually 70 different blood tests, and it's a panel that we negotiated with a lab. So in theory, that lab, if you ran it through insurance, would be about a $1,200 to $1,400 lab that we knocked down. So it's actually quite a bit more than that. It's my favorite lab because it gives you an overview of many different things, liver function, kidney function. It's my favorite one to run.
See, he is kind of a geek that way. He has a favorite lab. A blood draw. I love it so much. And the thing is, you're going to get so much information, things that you don't even notice. You might be a little low on D, a little bit high on this, and you make those tweaks so that disease doesn't happen. We're not looking for active disease. We're looking for to prevent disease from happening. Yes. So we've done that. I've done that. My husband's done that. My son, my daughter-in-law, it's a powerful, powerful thing. So before we get to these hacks, we're almost there. One thing I want to just talk about this, two things, actually, this is really important. How many of us are walking around with mild forms of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder? How many of us are walking around with mild PTSD?
Pretty much all of us. We've basically, in order for us to not have mild PTSD, we have to go through life, have a bad day or emotionally a bad day and not deal with it. So, you deal with it as it comes up. So every time we have an emotional setback, even a trauma, a breakup or death of a loved one, if we don't deal with it, there's a physical consequence inside our cells. And then there's a memory that gets laid down and you can get triggered from that one memory. So to actually go through life perfectly and deal with every emotional trauma is just not very likely. Now, some people don't take on the emotional trauma, and we call them Homer Simpson type people, where you know the hamster's just not on the wheel and stuff, and so there's a bit of a blessing in that where they don't necessarily take things on very much, and so sometimes they can be just gifted that way. But the majority of people, especially our empathetic people, they will take on the weight of the world literally. And have you ever heard that saying, "I feel like the weight of the world's been lifted off my shoulders"? It's because of that area of the brain we were talking about, the basal ganglia. It sets the tone for muscles and emotions. That's why when we have stress, our muscles get tight. When you reduce the stress from global PTSD memories, from past traumas, the global muscles relax, which means you literally feel like you weigh less, like the world weighs less, because all at once, the brain will relax all your muscles. I've had many times patients, once we've dealt with stuff they didn't even know was there, they'll walk out of the room and say, "I feel like I'm floating on a cloud." Now, it's very temporary because it's literally just their muscles relaxing, but it is the weight of the world disappearing because they've identified and worked on some baggage, if you will, that they're holding on to. And that's really what PTSD, mild PTSD is baggage, mm-hmm. Our baggage.
And that's the thing is, you know, salvation that Jesus offers, if it were just for eternity, just to secure our eternity, it would be enough and it would be a great gift, but it's shalom. It's wholeness. It's healing of our mind, body, soul, spirit. If you follow Jesus around the Gospels, he cared about the human condition. I always say he doesn't save us to slave us. And sometimes I hear people parroting that message. Once you're saved, go reach the lost, go reach the lost, go preach the gospel. And you should share your testimony. But there are so many broken people that they feel like they've been saved to be slaved. And it's like, but when you get free, when you slow down enough to let God untangle your fears, your hurts, your worries, for Jesus to say, you know, when that happened, when that person shut that door in your face, when they betrayed you, I was there. And this is what's true. And you let God get into those places and he heals you. Guess what? Nobody has to force you to tell the gospel. Nobody has to tell you to tell about Jesus, because you will be the person who says, I was blind and now I see. And we are both very, very passionate about wholeness. And Dr. Jim Wilder, I had him on the show a few times. He's a neuroscience expert and counselor. And he said this: we tend to spend a lot of energy focusing on resolving traumas in the hope that we will be free from the pain that trauma brings. What we often miss or overlook is the power of building memories of God's goodness that give us the sense of being loved. We got to just camp here for a few minutes. And friends, this feels very important. So say if you would, number one, we do have to acknowledge we all have traumas, big T, small T's. Yeah. And if we don't deal with them, we will be trigger happy people, not happy, triggerable people. But it's not always just rehearsing and revisiting the mountain. It really is about building some memories and anchoring yourself to God's goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. We see healing when people have joy in their life. We see healing with humor. It's one of our core values at the clinic. When we train new people, we talk about having excellence without ego. We talk about a sense of humor and how important it is, because we see the healing with it. And it's very, very crucial to start to build a library of love memories. And you can do that each and every day, being in the Word or just looking at life a little differently and the miracles around us. And I'm going to say it even differently from a science point, because this is kind of something that's bothered me a little bit with this pandemic, is that you said that fear not just affects ourselves on the inside, but there's an energy to fear that affects people all around us. And I want you to say it this way: when you think of God, you think of light and you think of pure energy and love. And that's what it is when we're talking from a physics energy scenario, as far as what God can bring, what he can deliver. It's the purest form of energy that we will never get close to creating here on this planet.
His power working mightily at work within us. That's what scripture says. That's what you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's very important to know that when we don't have that and we have all these fearful people, then they're basically setting up a scenario where there's an energy in and around us that's dark. The light's not there because they're not focused on God. So you're seeing all these people walk around with that, and there isn't the light there, and you're more prone to sickness and disease and pandemics. And I don't think the worst plague in history, I don't think it was a coincidence that it happened during the Dark Ages, during the bubonic plagues, what I'm talking about, when people were not listening to God and they were turned away from God. And there was a lot of stuff back then that just happened. And funny enough, they came out of the Dark Ages right after the bubonic plague, when a lot of people died and passed away. And so there is a lot to be said about creating those loving memories. And just watch what happens. Even if you're in pain and you just get a half hour of loving memories, just pay attention to sometimes how much the pain actually went away during that time period.
And that's going to do it for this edition of Middays this week. I'm Susie Larson. Remember, you can still enter the giveaways from this event by texting the word book to 877-933-2484. We couldn't fit all of the live stream audio into this hour, so be sure to listen to the bonus podcast online at myfaithradio.com on the Middays with Susie Larson show page. Also, starting Monday, June 1st, join me at my new time for Susie Larson Live at 3 p.m. Central. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Suzy Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, you can subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Thanks for listening to Middays with Suzy Larson.